So I'm out here in Charlotte, North Carolina at one of the Microsoft support sites here, and I'm sitting here with Ben Reich, who is on our production team for content delivery. Just wanted to talk today about some of your uses around Project and some SharePoint stuff that you've been involved with lately. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself here?
Thanks, Otto. So I work with the GSA content delivery group here in Charlotte. And what I do is I do project management for internal tools projects, operational efficiency type stuff. And yeah, we do use SharePoint and Project quite a bit. Project to manage a project plan, and then Project Server, which is actually a component of SharePoint now, where you can actually see your project plan up on the web in a SharePoint site, and you can manipulate the project plan there and set schedule reminders and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool stuff.
I understand that you've been working on quite a few internal tools. Is that all pretty much track with Project?
Yeah, it is. It is actually. We start every project with a baseline project plan where we kind of lay out all of our target dates and we do all that in Project, and you can easily see, you know, which pieces of the project have to happen before others in order for it to come together successfully. So, and again, with SharePoint, I'm able to see all of that on the web without having to load up Project and get deep into the project plan. I can have a quick glance, and I can also show that to other people on the team who may not have Project installed. If it's a key stakeholder or someone else in the business who has no need to use Project, they can see the project plan just by going up to my SharePoint site. So it's really easy and convenient. Project can be pretty scary and intimidating for someone that hasn't had to use it before. So
can you give me an example of one of your recent projects and kind of how it works, that kind of thing?
Yeah, sure. So we just recently finished up a internal site called Content Idea, which we use to track submissions for content ideas for KB articles. So say we have an engineer who's on the phones all day with customers and he's seeing an issue come up a lot. He may decide that a KB article will be needed for that. So he will go to this tool and submit a bunch of information about the article, what he thinks it should be, and just tracks a lot of data in there, and then that goes out to our content team, who actually would decide whether or not that was a valid content request and have an article created. And so on a project like that, you know, we would spend some time, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 weeks gathering requirements for the tool. So figuring out from our stakeholders exactly what they wanted the tool to do and just basically what their needs were, who their audience was. And then following that, I would put together what's called a functional specification. So I would design the tool, basically figure out, based on the requirements, how the tool should look, how it should function, decide what we're going to build. From there, I would give that functional specification to my developer, and he would draw up what's called a technical specification, or a design doc, they refer to it sometimes. And that would basically, he would decide how to build, what we had designed in the functional spec. He would explore the different technologies he was going to use, different types of code, the server requirements, stuff like that. At that point, we have all of our stakeholders, you know, sign off and approve these documents, this functional spec and this technical spec, and be sure before we start putting any more labor into actually building this, be sure that, you know, we have got everything squared away and we're all in agreement on what we're doing. This saves a lot of time down the road, as you can imagine. It's very costly to make changes to a project, you know, the further you get into it. So once we have sign-off and approval there, the developer will start building the tool, which is a pretty lengthy process sometimes, depending. I think the Content Idea site took about 3 months to build. And once we have a pretty stable build of that, we give it to a test team. The test team will run through it and find any bugs, which there's always going to be bugs. And following the test team, once we get a really stable build, you know, we'll go through several iterations of the code to finally get it right to where it's, you know, it's working properly. At that point, we'll give it to a security team who actually performs a security audit to be sure there aren't any security holes, and to be sure that the servers we're going to put it on are going to handle the code that's out there efficiently and not open us up to any kind of vulnerabilities. And once that's performed and once we have the buy-off saying that everything is good to go, we will put the application out into our UAT, our user acceptance testing site, and let the actual customer, or our internal customer in this case, let the customer use the application we built and find any last-minute changes. Like there may be some like last-minute little deals that we didn't notice or whatever when we were building it we didn't catch, and they usually find those, you know, in this user, in this testing, this usability testing phase. So once we finish that and they agree that it's good to go, it's ready for use. So that's the end-to-end project there.
So then I understand that a lot of these processes that we're using here in a production team were influenced or kind of built off of what the development teams handle for the entire support site.
Yeah, that's correct. So there's a lot of different teams using a lot of different processes, and recently there's been a big push to standardize those processes. So we use what's called the SDLC, it's the Software Development Lifecycle, and this is becoming a standard across all of Microsoft for any application development, whether it be for internal tools or our products that we actually, you know, market to customers. So So it's kind of a good thing. It ensures that everyone's using a standard, common set of processes and best practices, so that no matter what you're working on or who you're working with, familiar terminology and everyone's used to how things should flow, instead of being, you know, in an environment where everybody has a different idea about how things should be done, and there aren't really a series of checks and balances like there are now.
And then you'd mentioned earlier that another big benefit of doing it this way via Project Server is the simple fact that you can essentially share out all that data to anybody across the intranet that may not have Project installed or whatever the case may be, that might just want to look at where you are with your milestones and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, SharePoint's actually become a really big part of our business internally. It's it enables anyone to build a website, and it enables a lot of cross-group and cross-site communication. So, you know, we have the site here in Charlotte. We also have a site in Washington and one in Texas where we do our content development. Having these SharePoint sites makes the time difference a lot easier, and it makes it a lot easier to communicate and share documentation and collaborate. You know, we can have a document on a SharePoint site and have, you know, a dozen different people editing the document, saving changes, and SharePoint has built-in functionality that tracks those changes and allows for document management and really easy way, instead of emailing this document around and having, you know, this, you know, 700 different versions of it floating and never knowing what's current. So SharePoint's great for that. SharePoint also allows you to, you know, upload calendars and schedules and you know, just about anything. So it definitely makes life a lot easier. We have a lot of teams internally now trying to standardize their SharePoint sites, and you know, it's gotten so widespread that, you know, you have a lot of front runners who come up with a really cool SharePoint technology or a new way to use their SharePoint sites, and you have a lot of other groups working to adopt that. So we're just starting to see a lot of widespread usage and a lot of cool ways that people are using the technology for their business.
And one of the other benefits that I've noticed is that a long time ago when we were just kind of handling our own websites, I mean, obviously there was no standardization there, so everybody's site looked completely different and it had different content and the whole bit. And of course, people that were more familiar with, you know, using Notepad and Front Page and all that kind of stuff to build out their sites, they had more features or whatever the case may be. But this sounds like it helps us all get, well, for lack of a better words, on the same page.
Yeah, and like I said, anyone can build a website with SharePoint, and it's so well integrated with Microsoft Front Page that, you know, you can easily, if you're familiar with using you know, Front Page or Microsoft Word, then you can build a website in SharePoint. It will look and feel exactly like you build it with those editors. So it's pretty seamless. I guess it's a benefit of having all those technologies in one Microsoft package, you know, having the compatibility there and knowing that it's going to look exactly like you built it in Front Page when you launch your SharePoint site is a definite benefit.
Cool. Well, wanted to thank you for your time, and it's good talking to you.
Thanks, Otto, and good luck with the podcast. I think these are a killer way to could get the voice of the internal Microsoft employee out to the customer. So good luck.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of the Voice of Support. Be sure to join us next week when we sit down with Peter Arulian and Patrick King from Xbox.com. We'll be discussing the support features of the recently revamped version of the site, and we plan to also cover a lot of the really cool features that it now has to offer. Until next time, thanks for tuning in.